Again, paragraph plus it says, Isha, Kishish Chateni is shofin for Shema Ish. Shech the carbon is for the fire. V'chol Isha Loshen Ish, Ish Nichoa, Ish. That's what Isha means. Isha is from language of fire, it doesn't do with Ish or Isha. Nichoa, Nachas Ruach Lefonai, Sh'amarki V'nasur Tum. Reach Nichoa. It's for the, you're shechting for the fire, and you're shechting for a pleasing smell. Reach is a smell, and Nichoa, Nachas Ruach. And the Gemara, the Mishnah, the Tanaim in Zochem talk about this. The Yishev, this is a halakhic concepts. Talk about the different intents, the different directions, the vectors that the coin has in mind. He's shechting it for the sake of Isha, for the sake of Reach, for the sake of Nichoach. The Rabban points out, well, then, this is our way into this conversation. Well, Peter Sharav Mamal Shemesh, Rashi still translated Isha means fire. What do I mean for the fire? You're shechting it for the sake of the fire. What does that mean? So the Gemara says, Rashi didn't quote this part of the conversation, but the Gemara, Amrum is Gemara Masach Zachim, La Puki Kivava Delo. L'shem Eish means as opposed to Kivava. Anyone know what that means? Upir Shubo, what does that mean? Shem Kivava. You all know what that means. I'll show you in the next minute or so. And you all know what that means. Some of you know that very well indeed. Upir Shubo, what does that mean? It should be L'shem Eish for the fire instead of for Kivava.
Let's put that word up on the board if you have a marker.
Eish versus Kivava. So Rashi says, the Rabban quotes, the Gemara explains, Shishchatenu, it says Rashi there says, Shishchatenu al menas lahaloso dabe eish bo eres barma. That he's supposed to be shechting the carbon with the intent to put it on the burning fire, on the bonfire on top of his bed. Lo la'alos on gabe gecholim olamos shemis kabos beholchos. As opposed to putting on a fire on a couple of coals that are going out. So Rashi in Zerachim makes it sound like kivava, which were anti-kivava. Kivava is like kibui, like being the kabos, extinguishing. Well, solid, healthy fire, not a fire that's petering out. The linera, Rabban says, I think, should tsarach l'chaven sh'tochlenu ha'esh l'gamre, lo sh'yitz l'sham ma'at. The point is that you have in mind total consumption, total burning by the fire, as opposed to kivava, as opposed to just getting roasted. V'hu milashona v'ben tsaramor t'gemar sa'edrin, kibasar kiva da'achli gamri. Nachve v'necha, let be koveiv, and then eat it. Can anyone tell me by looking at the board? Rabban is pointing out that Rashi understood this means a healthy fire, as opposed to kivava, meaning that the fire is going out. L'chavos. Rabban says it's not about a big fire versus a small fire. That's not really the point as much as getting burnt, as opposed to just getting roasted. Guys, take a look at the board. You all know, as I said before. Exactly. You're familiar from the Arabic, kebab. Exactly. It's l'shem eish as opposed to l'shem kebaba. That's what it is. It's exactly what Rabban meant. Exactly. L'shem eish means you're not roasting. When you have the emunah going to the bath, you're not making kebabs out of it. The part that you eat yourself, you actually do. It's actually a beautiful and tasty toast that has a steer between hulin and zvachim. This is a toast is worth discussing at a grill, especially late at night. And it was grilling, there's some sauce, the meat is sizzling, and the coals. So the nice toast points out a barbecue toast. Tyson wants to know, this is not a barbecue toast. Tyson wants to know, a steer between hulin and zvachim, how are you supposed to prepare karbanos? Because the Gemara, the Gros is based on the Tanam said based on the Sukkah, that Karban is supposed to be eaten l'mashchul adula. It's supposed to be eaten in the superior way. What's the best way to eat Karban? The problem is the steer between Zvachim and Chulam. In one place the Tanam say, whatever you like most. Right, different people have different tastes. Whatever is your taste, whichever way you like meat most, that you're eating a Karban, do the Karban, prepare the Karban the way you like it most. The other place the Tanam say, oh, l'mashul adula has to be an ideal way to eat it. Sli uvacharga. Roasted, grilled,
with mustard. Tessie says, the chasira. Is it whatever you like most, or is it a fixed menu? Sliya v'charba.
That's the way you have
to. It's a stira. Oh, so Tessie says exactly that. The Tosa says, well, it depends. If you have a preference, so you got your preference. If you have no particular preference, so then sliya v'charba, which really means, if you think about lumdus, means there is an objective best way to eat flesh. But the halacha says, if you have a subjective preference, so we go with your subjective preference. But in the absence of subjective preference, the default fallback is apparently al-pidin. This is how it's a barbecue terror. The Tanakh is saying al-pidin, the objective best way to eat flesh, is grilled. Sliya v'charba.
With mustard.
But, of course.
I mean, Santa tells us after they finish making the food.
What?
Mustard on a meat.
Okay. Sometimes people have a particular personal taste. When halachic man grill, but halachic man eats flesh, the ideal is tzliya v'charba. And says, and that's what the Rabban is saying, that's what you do with... That's what you're supposed to do with the part of the carbon that's eaten. And most carbons have a part that's eaten by people, part that goes in his bath. Ola, everything is burnt in his bath. So the isha, the part that's going on in his bath, there you have to be careful. It has to be l'shem eish, as opposed to kevava, that the part that's going in his bath needs to be totally burnt to a crisp, but not just grilled. That's something the isha people have. In next week with beer of chametz, it's important to know how to make a good fire so that your chametz goes l'shem eish and not l'shem kvav. Sometimes people don't really have a well-working fire, the chametz just get toasted. It's important by beer of chametz, the chametz should be incinerated. The same is true, there's because you want to get rid of it. But by a carbon, the mitzvah is for the emurim, the part of the animal that gets burned, the mitzvah is so it's not just to roast it, but to make kebabs out of it, but the part of God's bath has to be totally, totally incinerated. But then the Rabban wants to know, this is all very nice. Talk about fire and kebabs. But then he says, what does this mean? Isha reach nichoach l'shem. So l'shem ish, we understand. Okay, we're supposed to burn it. But the reach nichoach. Reach nichoach. What are you bringing the carbon for? For a good smell. For nachas ruach the good aroma. What does that mean? So Rabban goes on to quote, this is one of the times that he quotes the Rabban of the Mor Nebuchim, which happens in numerous times over the course of the Baal Torah. He says the Rambam had this idea that the goal of Karbanos was a response to the idolatrous cultures, with an interesting twist. And then Rabban presents the Rambam's approach. Tamar Karbanos, take a look at number 98. Which animals do you bring as Karbanos? The only animals you bring as Karbanos are sheep, goats, and calves. He says, hey, you look around at the pagan cultures. A mitzvah of them was Tolad. The Egyptians worshipped deified sheep. They thought sheep were gods. Kastim of them Lashedim, Asher Yira Ulahem, the most Si'irim, the Kastan, the Babylonians, Iraqis, the Syrians worshipped demons whom they thought of as being in goat shape, like the Chumash says the later. And finally, Anshe Hodu, Ad Hayom Lishatu Bakar Le'olam. Indians, he says, to this very day, feel that cows are sacred. Holy cow. Right? Here Hodu means the Indian. Anshe Hodu. Right. Ba'avur kisesenethis, Rabban says, Rambam says, Ba'avur kain, see if this is an armline Shabbos HaVelter. Ba'avur kain, see if l'shchot, ein l'shlosh ha'shlosh ha'minim, l'ashem ha'nichbar. The answer of Rosh HaDafya is those three. There's no mitzvah to shech elk as a carbon. There's to shech deer as a carbon. Rabban quotes in Rambam the Mora that's why God gave us a mitzvah to shech cows, sheep, and goats for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To make it clear what the relationship is here. Kedishi vada, ki ha-davar shay-choshin ki heva tathlas ha-adeira, hu ha-shay-yakimu la-borin. These pagan nations thought that the worst sin in the world to kill a cow, to kill a sheep, Adrabah, that's a form of Avos Hashem. And that makes it clear that we don't see them as being charged. And then he goes on to say, Uvo yiskapiru ha'avonos. And that type of carbon is a mode, is a vehicle for getting kaparos avonos. Why? Ki ken yisrapu munos haral she'matvei ha'nefesh. Because if this is if shechting a sheep is an exercise in excising, in removing from myself these avodah zara thoughts and this take that the cow is in charge, the sheep is in charge, that's an incredibly powerful way of, that's an exercise in reminding myself who's really in charge. That's a great form of kaparas avodah. And the Rambam says he's very, very sharp. This is what the Rambam said. He spoke about his length. Vehine heim divrei havai. Rambam thinks that it is foolish. It's a strong language from the Rambam. That's foolish. Yirapu shavar gal v'kusha rabba al dekala. How do you answer such a weighty kasha so easily? Really? He says, you're making the mizbeach into, at best, all the mizbeach and all kavanas about are just anti-paganism. That's all it is. He says, that is the Rambam's approach. Rambam's the other piece along those lines. The Rambam points out, but let's read Chumash. That's why I mentioned when we started.
Look at the psukim.
He says, the Torah says, "Hein lechem isha l'reach michoach." Number one, he says, from the psukim, Rabban said, the Rabbah may be right that one of the many tamim may be, it's a stand against paganism. More than a stand, it's an exercise to help people who are steeped in paganism get it out of their system. It's a way of reminding yourself, this is not my God. The sheep is not a deity. That may be true. That may be in the mix of many different reasons. But to say that's the primary reason, the Chumash says, "Lechem isha reach nichoach Hashem." This is you're accomplishing something incredibly positive, not just that you're getting rid of negativity. And then he goes on to say, Rabban, that who says they wouldn't see? They said they deified mazal to them, mazal shar. The sign of the zodiac, the concept. So shechting an individual actual sheep might, at least for some of those pagan religions, actually be a positive religious activity. So Rabban says, number one, a historical factual question, is it so clear that shechting a sheep was necessarily something that was flew in the face of the pagan religion, A? And B, he says, it's clear from the Chumash that there's a positive aspect. So Rabban goes on to give two other approaches. See, at the bottom of the page, Aderach HaEmes Yishper Kavod HaSodnela. And that's why this copy runs out at that point. He says there's a Kabbalistic level that Rabban talks about. And then, he suggests an approach of the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra has something that they find very appealing. Here, and number 10, smack him a little page. The Shona Karbanos, again, he's has his kasha again. And he goes, he says, happiness, I said, other brought Karbanos. Noah brought Karbanos. Hevel brought Karbanos. Bilam brought Karbanos. Adam, Hevel, Noah, none of them are being motivated. It's not about anti-Avodah Zarah. There are no mitzvahim around. There's no pagan religions they were fighting against at the time. So what's going on? So and he says Bilam would bring a carbon to get rid of his avodah zarah tendencies. Highly unlikely. He says from the language here throughout Tanakh, don't you get the impression that there's a lot more? The carbonas are accomplishing something. And he says, "Ein daito ato l'shon." He says, "Osake l'karba elokim." It's carbonos. L'shon of carbonos is carboni. Lachmi li'ishai reach nitovi. How can it be? Chalila. Shum to Azvaratan Rak Sholus Lavo Zarvidas Hashotim. It can't be from the language of the Pesukim that all it is just an exercise in disassociating from Avodah Zarah. Again, there may be a piece of it. But to say that's the whole picture, it just doesn't add up. The data in Tanakh just does not support that. Yosera oil shma tam sha'ori behem. He says, I find it much more appealing to go with the antenna, but Shabbat points at the bottom that this is a reference to the Ibn Ezra. We just came across that threesome in the Ibn Ezra and Kisisa, right? The Machshava, Dibur, and Maisa. People do mitzvahs or aveiros on three fronts: action, speech, and thought. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu want us to consider, be mindful of all three. When we kasha yechta, a Kadosh Baruch Hu said, first does aveira, yavi karbon, you smoke your devil al kneged amasa. Remember what you did, the board is bringing the carbon to do smicha. You lean heavily on the animal, that's a positive maisa. Yisvadeh, bethiv, yifnulidoi, that's dibur. And then, where's the machshava? Hopefully you're thinking about it. But the way in which you make the machshava piece palpable and tangible is the kerev ukulayos shehim klei machshava v'hataiva. What do we burn? So we burn the parts of the body that we associate both with thought and with desire, as well as the legs, the karev, which correspond analogous to a person's hands and feet, which are the emblems of action. And then the blood gets tossed on the mizbeach. That's the most important avoda of the karbon. So we're trying to remind ourselves to think deeply about each part of ourselves. Machshava dibur maisa. Kedei sheyachshov adam ba'asasoko eila kichat alakam v'gufo uv'nafsho. To recognize that different parts of me were involved in avera. There were emotions involved in avera. There was my rational mind involved in avera. There was physical action involved in avera. Ro'el sheyishofev tamo yisarev gufo lulichas tabore. Kadosh Baruch was being gentle with me. And Kadosh Baruch was allowing me to just do something instead of placeholder. Instead of actually losing my business, and that's what many others have pointed out also. Because Bo created me, because Bo has expectations. It would not have been illogical to say, yes, I gave you life, I gave you tools, you ruined them, then go away. That's the end. Because Bo, for Bechazdo, the two of us said, no. People are going to have loads of chances. People are going to make loads of mistakes and keep getting chances. But the Chakar was a reminder. And the Kabbalah has a placeholder to remind us that it's not. The Rabban says that he finds to be reasonable. And he's through that line before. Karbon is not sacrificed. Karbon is coming close. Karbon is Moshe Karev. Karbon is a closer. The Rabban says that totally that I come close to Kadosh Baruch Hu by just getting sweeping the Avodah Zarah thinking out of my life. The Rabban says it's so hard to believe. Both the language the Chumash uses, as well as all the cases of Karbanos, all the personalities and half the big Karbanos, Torah Tarpley, that's all it is. It must be at least, rationally speaking, that Rav Ibn Ezra says, a chance to consider what went wrong, to consider the emotions and the thinking that went wrong, and how it played out in the Masa. And then he says, presumably, if the Torah describes something that brings it close to Goshlam, so you wouldn't be surprised that there should be heavy layers of Kabbalah as well. It's so down. Again, if what is aligned with the Chassidish approach, now is a time in world history when Kabbalah is supposed to be taught broadly. We're not aligned with the Chassidish, and then I guess you would read the rest of Rabbah. We're not yet aligned with the Chassidish approach. Then one would assume that this is put aside the rest of Rabbah until a different point. I'll share with you outside one other Rabbah parsha. Or maybe a reference and a Ramban outside. A reference is the last Ramban in the package, which is Parakei, Pasek Kas Vav. I would just say, could I take a look at it? Hold on to the package. I take a look at it. This Ramban says here, and by the end of the Yikra, what's quoted by the Ramah, in Hilchos Aseres Me'etshuva, as Rabbi Yona in Brachos. The official Hussar Shmuz, Aseres Me'etshuva. The Ramah quotes from Rabbi Yona, it's here in the Ramban as well. And that it deals with the question, why is that the asham toler for a suffix adera is more expensive than the carbon chatas for the vada adera? For a psychological insight, the Rabban has in Hei Tesvah. As I tell you outside, you can take a peek there to see what his answer is. To tell you outside, very fascinating, Parak Gimel Pasuk Gimel, he talks about what's with the salting? Salting karbanos. Velosash bis melach bris elokecha. What's with salting? What's the significance of the salting? This is a very fascinating thing. He says that salt, because the Tanakh elsewhere uses salt, melach, bris melach, talking about the David HaMelach, and the different melach of the Chaf. The different context, the Torah talks about the bris of melach, the bris of salt. It's all a reference back to, the Zagrashi says, it's a quote from Midrash HaChazal, that it's a reference to the promise of Rosh Hashanah made to the seed. And the sea would have a chalik in the karmas hakarbanis. You get sea salt, you use it on this bath. The Rabban thinks, but Abdi Pshuto, he thinks that the point is a very powerful Musar concept. Salt can go either way. When you think about salt water, so when you separate salt water, it says you use the sun to separate, to desalinate the water, is the source of life. And the water you use, you irrigate your fields, things grow, the plants grow, the animals and people live, the results of the plants, water is the source of life. At the same time, when you get the salt, you strew a field with salt, it's done. Everything dies. It says, that's a reminder that things go either way. He says, it's what keeps the salt is a reference to standards. Malchus Beis David had a bris melach, which meant that if they would keep their standards, they would be incredible. If they would break their standards, they would lose their melucha, which is ultimately what happened. That Malchus Beis David will ultimately regain the melucha, but at the end of the Bayis Rishon period, because of Chet, that was the end of practicing Malchus Beis David. He says that's what bris melach means. Bris melach means to recognize that a lot of times you have something which could be used well or poorly. It could, like the salt water, use it to create life, or you could use it in a destructive way, and you got to figure out, you have to make choices, and your choices will determine whether what you have is going to be incredibly constructive and life-giving and vitalizing, or is it going to be incredibly destructive. That, he says, is the bris melach. Okay, we can head to the Beis HaMedrash now. The rest, for the just in terms of the rest of the day, we head to the Beis HaMedrash now. We head to the Beis HaMedrash now. For some Bikita's time. And when we come back, I want to dive. We're going to dive into halacha, but we're going to pick up with Hilchos Zuz and Rishon after Yom Tov. I want to dive into some practical Hilchos Pesach. Some things that you have learned, but probably a fair amount. I know you hear Hilchos Pesach, you feel like you learned that 12 times already. But there's a fair amount of Hilchos Pesach, advanced Hilchos Pesach, you have not yet learned. I want to start with, I have some paperwork I want to hand around. I want to actually try and make sense of what happens in Mechiras Chametz in Shul, and what happens in Mechiras Chametz, why John Brown comes to Mechiras Chametz with a briefcase full of rolls of quarters and a pocket knife. So we'll figure out what exactly is going on. You've never seen so many kinyanim happen before in your life. There's plenty going on in the Hilchos Pesach that you should know. So we will get some head right down to the main base marriage, which is straight downstairs, our Sunday minute, and we will be back here in around an hour. So continue to help us.
Yeah.